Our study tonight is out of Amos chapter 5, verses 1 through 17, God's judgment for injustices in Israel's courts. When God needed a messenger to the kingdom of Israel, as it was at the height of its rebellion against him, the Lord sent Amos, who was a layman from Judah, to go north to Israel to voice severe judgment against that nation. God seeks justice, especially in courts of law. But even there, Israel had badly failed, so judgment was going to come. Amos 5, 1 to 17 addressed this matter, so we view the passage for our insight, our application, and edification. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Amos 5, 1 through 17. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. They that went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek me, and you shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off the righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark, and not with night, that calleth forth the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. That strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebukes in the gate. They abhor him who speaks uprightly. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink the wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silent in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good. Establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord of God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, saith thus, wailing shall be in all the streets. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And on all the vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Okay, Amos declared that God's severe judgment would certainly fall on Israel. This is Amos 5, 1 to 3. He summoned the people to hear his lament for them. Now, a lament was usually performed at a funeral. It was like a dirge. Though Israel was the height of prosperity under Jeroboam II, Amos presented this lamentation for Israel as if she were already dead. And, of course, this was meant to shock his hearers. Israel was a virgin in the sense that she had never been conquered. And Amos predicted in his lament that she would not only be conquered, but she would be invaded, fallen, not rise. Only a tenth of the nation would survive the invasion and be taken into captivity. In other words, 90% of the people would be killed. That's a devastating loss. Well, God did not delight in destroying his people, so he called for them to repent that they might live. Once again, you've got all these warnings about judgment, and the reason is God doesn't like to judge. But he will. If he's pressed to that point, he will. The nation's doom was sure, but individuals could still repent and live. So God's prophet Amos announced the Lord's admonition that the people were to seek the Lord and to live. They were not to seek him by going to the golden calf idol at Bethel, to the false fertility goddess at Gilgal, or seek him at a sanctuary that honored the forefathers in southern Judah and Beersheba. For people at these places would also surely go into captivity and come to nothing. You know, it's amazing. In order to get to Beersheba, they have to go past Jerusalem. I mean, they went right by the temple of the Lord, ignored that, went all the way down to Beersheba. Beersheba is down near the desert. It's amazing. Rather, the people of Israel were to seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire on them, devouring them with none to quench it in Bethel, where they worshiped the golden calf of Jeroboam the first. Well, Amos chapter 5, verse 7 introduces God's critique of the abuses in Israel's law courts, and it's connected to Amos chapter 5, verses 10 to 13 by way of grammar and content, because verses 8 and 9 parenthetically describe God's sovereign power to punish these great wrongs, and verses 8 and 9 are a series of dependent clauses. It comes out clearly if you have a New International Version or an English Standard Version, you'll see that it's just a bunch of dependent clauses. You know, it's this, I'm going to judge, and remember, I'm the one who does this and 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 this. In other words, I'm sovereign. And so, accordingly, Amos 5, 8, and 9 describes the sovereign omnipotence of God over the physical universe, that he would thus surely use that sovereign power to punish the injustices of Israel's courts of law. God made the constellations Pleiades. I know in the King James it says the seven stars, but the seven stars refers to the constellation Pleiades. And then Orion. We can see Orion in the sky at night. I don't know if you've seen it, or especially early in the morning. You'll see it up before the sun rises, off a little bit to the west, but it's almost directly overhead. The rising of Pleiades before daybreak signaled the return of spring, while the rising of Orion after sunset heralded the onset of winter. So God is presented as sovereignly controlling the seasons and the stellar universe. God also controls the cycle of day and night, the elements of nature gathering by evaporation the waters of the sea and draining them out over the land, Israel's covenant God. So God, whose dominion was unchallenged in heaven, was also irresistible on earth. Nothing could withstand his destruction, not the mightiest stronghold or the most fortified city. That's something we often forget. We often forget God is the creator, and he spoke this creation into existence by the word of his mouth. Just speaking the words, and boom, it was there. All these stars and everything. So he's very, very powerful. In fact, there's a passage in the scripture that says, are not the nations like a drop in the bucket to the Lord? It's a drop in a bucket. It's very, very small. So, yeah, we think about the Soviet Union, Russia, building all their troops on the borders of Belarus. To God, it's a drop in the bucket. We don't look at it that way, but God does. It's a drop in the bucket. So Russia will only do what God allows her to do. It's interesting. Well, as for the injustices in Israel's courts of law, God described them and denounced them in Amos 5, 10 through 13. Those who tried to use the courts to profit illegally hated judges who reproved their wrongs, and they also despised witnesses who told the truth, because in speaking the truth, they blocked their evil efforts. It's kind of like a big mafia gang that was operating in Israel at the time. They had money, and they would try to use the courts and the court system in order to push their wrongs and take advantage of people. Well, such evil men went to judges who would take bribes and deprive the poor of their justice. Accordingly, the Lord would cause those who took their unjust profits from such distorted injustices to build stone mansions like royal palaces and to plant vineyards, would neither live in those houses nor drink the wine of their vineyards, for God would punish them by way of the Gentile invasion. Conditions actually were so dangerously evil in the courts that the prudent kept silent in order to protect themselves. You notice in verse 13, it doesn't come out strongly in the King James. Therefore, the prudent keep silence at the time, for it's an evil time. The prudent, wise people who were there, even though they knew what was going on, they knew it was the truth, they knew if they spoke up, they might get killed. It was dangerous. So they just kept quiet. This happens, incidentally, in a lot of totalitarian lands. People, they're just afraid of losing their lives, so they don't say anything. They keep quiet. Well, God still offered deliverance from judgment for those who repented in Amos chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. So in the end, God's judgment would fall on an unrepentant nation, so there would be wailing and mourning. The section that began with a lament ends with the prediction of lamentations at Israel's fall, Amos 5, 16 and 17. So God's severe judgment would fall on Israel for gross injustices, that abused the vulnerable, even in courts of law. Nevertheless, individual repentance would lead to individual deliverance, even in the nation's fall. So may we do what is just and equitable towards other people, especially the vulnerable, for God's blessing. And then may we rest in God's coming sovereign judgment of all the injustices that have occurred in courts of law. I'm thinking of Roe v. Wade, okay, and the Supreme Court. And think of the millions. Was it 60 million? Or I forget how many babies have been aborted since.
66 million.
66 million.
Very high.
This is
a very short amount of time.
Yeah, since 1972. Those are millions of Americans, you know. And a tragedy is the highest percentage for the number of population have been blacks who have been aborted. It's very, very high. It's you know, you talk about racism. Wow. It's terrible what has happened. But God's going to take care of that. He's going to deal with that. So we need to rest in God's coming sovereign judgment of all the injustices that have occurred in courts of law.